republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
Crunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Page?
Here.
Salomon? Quorum present.
And I'll make a motion to excuse Commissioner Dean Salomon from tonight's meeting.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving on to the consent agenda, the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items on the consent agenda or item may be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have item A, approval of the August 27th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented. Item B, approval to appoint Monica Krubeck to the Planning Commission to fill the remaining term of James Kozlowski with the term expiring May 31st, 2020. Item C, approval to reappointment of Bud Chipman as an ex officio member of the Airport Advisory Board for a three-year term expiring August 24th, 2022. Item D, approval of the reappointment of Leon Drema as an ex officio member of the Airport Advisory Board for a three-year term expiring August 24th, 2022. E, approval of the reappointment of Leon Vercuzzi to the Airport Advisory Board for a three-year term expiring August 24th, 2022. And F, approval to appoint John Van Enten as an ex officio member of the Airport Advisory Board with a term expiring August 24th, 2022. And approval of the five-year Metro Act renewal with ACD through 8/15/2024 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents. Is there any comments from the staff or the public or commissioners?
Is it appropriate to ask a question, or if I do, we do that, it needs to be moved to an agenda item?
Technically, the latter. But it's quick.
Well, could we move then up item B to under new business?
Item B?
B.
I will put item B as item E under new business.
I would make a motion then to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I did want to welcome I'm assuming our three students from Point City High School. So thanks for coming. Hearing citizens' comments on any non-agenda item. Moving on to correspondence. We were invited to read a reception down at the MML conference. And any other correspondence? Moving on to item six, Mike, city manager's report.
First, I want to congratulate everybody that was involved with all the activities that took place in Boyne City over the Labor Day weekend. It was a very busy weekend. There's tons of people in town, lots of activities to take place in, and they all seem to go pretty smoothly. A few construction updates for you. Working on the Boyne Mountain CDBG supported force main project on M75 is nearing completion. The contractor completed the pressure test on the new main yesterday. They have one other building to connect and some restoration work, so we'll be shortly hopefully putting that new line into service. Work on our road reconstruction project continues to make good progress on Cedar Street with tree replantings. You may recall that we picked up a lot of them and moved them into a storage area over there by Douglas and Pleasant. That'll be scheduled to be replanted shortly, and paving scheduled to take place hopefully by the end of next week, weather permitting, on Cedar Street. Work is fully underway on Terrace Street. As you can see, that's pretty full of equipment and pretty well torn up right now. Work on the Rotary Park tennis courts has begun. This report was actually provided to you last time. Since the milling was begun, there's some additional milling work that requires an additional piece of equipment to come up. So they're bringing that up from Indiana. It's created some delays in the progress, but the project continues to move forward. Work on the installing the new fire suppression line on Water Street has been proceeding smoothly, and reconstruction is currently underway with that project. So we will have a new business opening there soon. And that whole building that that's in, where the wine emporium was and where the new wine bar will be, is completely fire suppressed now. So it'll make the downtown a little safer from that risk. The contract for the pavilion construction, hopefully the final phase of that, was signed earlier today with Grundyke Construction for $437,809, as previously authorized by the City Commission. Bob is shooting for an October 1st start date. We may see some of the new exterior doors go up before then, before he really gets into the full breadth of the project. Completion is being proposed in time for next year's Mushroom Festival, so very similar to when he did the work on it last time. Work through the winter, and then have it done in the spring in time for the Mushroom Festival. Today, the pre-construction meeting for the Boyne Valley Trail project was held across the hall in our Parkview room. The contractor begins to begin work on that project the week of September 23rd, weather permitting. They will work through mid or late November if the weather and Michigan Department of Transportation allow that. The project has a proposed June 12, 2020 completion date. So there should be time for a lot of writing on that next year while it goes to plan. Ads for the police chief vacancy have been distributed, and submittals are due by Friday, September 27th. You may have noticed that DPW personnel are in the process of replacing some worn sidewalk segments by Water Street, on Water Street by the Red Mesa, and they've got those pretty well progressed. Work on the cleaning and repainting of the Marina Lighthouse began yesterday with, I thought, pretty much amazing results. Years of grime have been washed away, greatly improving the looks of the lighthouse already, even before it gets painted to make it look even better, and then seal it that look for what we see years to come. Boyne Valley Township has received their their independent financial review of questions they had regarding their agreement with us for EMS services. We received a copy of that report at their board meeting last night. John Lamont was there attending. Initial reviews of that report show nothing out of the ordinary. We have provided a copy of that report to our auditor so they can make their own assessment of it. We anticipate that the township will want to be scheduling a meeting with us to review the findings and next steps in the coming weeks. A reminder that this weekend, the county's household hazardous waste collection program takes place at the Road Commission Garage at M75 South. Advanced reservations are required through the county for that process. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you. Commissioners, anything?
I just have one question about the log cabin building, Mike. Is anything going on with that, or any evaluation?
Well, we used it through the summer for busy activity weekends. As a visitor center, that was kind of a test program on that. At the most, we had maybe like 10 people that would stop in on those nights, and at the least, like one or two. We're not thinking that that's a program worth continuing in the future. We haven't gotten any more additional information on the structural needs of the building. At this point, we're planning on winterizing it, so it basically is static through the winter, and then we can figure out in next budget year what we want to do next as part of those discussions.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, moving on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have the draft minutes of the August 1st Main Street Board Meeting, draft minutes of the August 8th Parks and Recreation Board Meeting, the draft minutes of the August 19th Planning Commission Meeting, and the draft minutes of the August 29th questions on those?
I had one on the Main Street minutes. There was something with the MEDC agreement that needs to be signed by September. Is there anything about?
Yes, Main Street Board voted not to proceed with that at that meeting. And shortly after that, the MEDC had gotten apparently enough questions regarding that that they rescinded that agreement. And they're supposedly coming up with another one, which they haven't presented to us yet. They had hoped to have that in advance of the Main Street Board meeting, which was held last Thursday, but nothing's come since. On a related note, in case anybody's interested, the Main Street Board will be having a meeting tomorrow in this room. I think it starts at 8 o'clock and runs till 9:30. And we have representatives from the Michigan Main Street Program, Laura Kurzov is here, and also a representative from the National Main Street Program. They're going to be talking about board leadership and things of that nature. So we have representatives from both the state and national programs here as well, too. Everything seems to be going well. We're waiting to see what that new agreement looks like and if we have any questions about that one. Currently, we do have an agreement in place with the Main Street Program. This one was supposed to supersede that, and we just had a number of questions with regards to it, as apparently other communities did too.
So it was a blanket-wide thing for all the state Main Street?
Yes, yes. Yeah, they pulled it back for everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on, we do not have any old business. Number 9A, new business, fireworks ordinance update. Chief.
Thank you, Mayor. So just a little history. 2011, the state legalized the sale and use of consumer-grade fireworks that were always prohibited in Michigan before. Since then, every couple of years, the legislature has written an update to that law to allow municipalities to have a little bit more control. It started off with not allowing municipalities to have much control at all to the last, which is reflects our current ordinance, that we could, if we chose to enact an ordinance, we could not regulate the national holidays or the day before and the day after. Another legislation that took place in the end of last year, 2018, in December, gave municipalities, if they so choose, a little bit more control over when fireworks can be used. So now they have allowed that if a municipality chooses to have an ordinance, they can regulate it on less days than was they've done this all backwards. We can regulate it on certain days, but it allows us to restrict those days more than they have been restricted in the past. So, for example, it went from all the national holidays the day before and the day after to now December 31st and January 1st, Saturday and Sunday immediately preceding Memorial Day until 11:45 each of those days, June 29th through July 4th with 11:45 restriction, July 5th, if that date's a Friday or Saturday, Saturday and Sunday immediately preceding Labor Day. So basically they've limited it down and taken it away from that day after and on some instances the day before. So if we so choose, we could enact an ordinance and enforce the only time that would be allowed would be these new proposed dates. The other part of that new law was that there was a penalty that if the penalty section, if the city did choose to enact an ordinance, then the penalty section was such that it became a civil infraction with a $1,000 mandatory fine. Not something I was really fond of. Talked to the city manager about it, and we kind of went back and forth on it, but there's really no way around it. If we enact an ordinance, we have to impose the $1,000 fine for any violations of that. $500 of that goes to the police department. and you know, sort of for obvious reasons, I don't like that. If you did enforce it, it looks self-serving to the police department, you know, because they get a cut of the money, and I don't ever want it to look like that. But the other thing is that that's a tough line, but it's kind of what we're stuck with. So if we choose to regulate, and again, our current ordinance is in fact not valid because it states that we can regulate on some of those days that they no longer allow that. So we would have to either probably rescind the current one and go with nothing, or put the new one in place that goes with the new restrictions and then the $1,000 fine. So with that in mind, I recommend that that we do adopt the changes in the ordinance that we have in there and adopt that fine schedule as well for the $1,000. Grudgingly, I recommend that part.
Thank you, Chief. Yes. Any comments from staff or the public?
As Jeff mentioned, we had a lot of discussion with regards to that penalty clause that was in there. We contacted the Michigan Municipal League, talked to Jennifer Rimmery down there, and it's another one of those examples where they were trying to address a problem that had been expressed in another community that, for whatever reason they had, if the fine was so low or lower than they thought this $1,000 limit, that was costing them too much money and they weren't enforcing it because it was just too expensive for them. They needed the $1,000 to basically cover their own costs. So we were telling her about our concerns with regards to it. She said she'd heard that from another couple of communities as well too, and I wouldn't be surprised if they fix this in a future rendition where it seemed like they come up with these changes every year or so with regards to the fireworks ordinance ever since they started tweaking it a few years ago. So we researched that the best we could, and there's other communities that are talking about it, but again, to be in compliance with the current state statutes, we do need to update our ordinance, and generally our concern has been as a community that there were just occasions with too many fireworks on certain dates, and this, again, limits the number of dates close to what we almost had originally.
Okay.
And again, a reminder that this is the first reading with regards to the ordinance. We're getting it out there so the community has an opportunity to think about it as well as the commission. And then maybe come back for a second reading, at which time this commission could consider amending it, approving it, denying it, whatever its pleasure might be.
Thank you. Any other comments from staff? School board deliberation,
I guess the number of incidents that they've had after, you know, the ordinance being adopted, did it lower the incident rate or did it stay about the same?
I would say it probably, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would say it probably stayed the same. It may have changed the time of the actual complaints, but we still get quite a few complaints. And we get complaints from such even on days when it's legal to do. So if we were going to track it, we'd have to kind of separate those out to make sure they were on the days when it was actually a violation. But I would say it's probably similar.
Any else, Rob?
That's the only question I had. You know, thinking about disbanding the ordinance, you know, removing it from her, but then you don't have the ability to get tough with somebody that's, you know, violating things. And it's,
okay.
I think of the consequences anyway.
Again, keep in mind that any ordinance that we adopt is a tool. And much like it was with the river jumping ordinance that we talked about as well too, our goal is not to necessarily collect a fine or issue a ticket or anything like that. It's to get compliance and promote safety. And the police department needs some type of an ordinance if they're going to go up and have a meaningful discussion with anybody that is, you know, violating or doing something that, you know, is annoying the neighbor. So I would not recommend disbanding it. Just because we have an ordinance on the book that says there's a $1,000 fine doesn't mean that when somebody's shooting fireworks that we're going off and issuing tickets. But it gives the tool to the officer, even much like the misdemeanor does, of going that way and, you know, more than just saying, I'm telling you not to do it because I'm telling you not to do it, because there are other consequences. And then we try not to get to those other consequences if we can avoid it, but it gives the tool if it's necessary.
Yes, Kevin.
As Mr. Kane said, it gives us a tool. When this came out, I worked a lot of those nights where we did have fireworks complaints, where people were outside of the times they're supposed to. I told every one of them, this is what the new law is, this is what the new fine is, we're not going to write tickets the first time, if we have to come back, then you know what you're looking at. I didn't go back to any house for the second time. So.
Sound like you're good too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Once you explain to them what the fine is, and we did that for multiple complaints, we just said, hey, we need to put them away. If we keep doing it, and we come back, this is what the fine is. We never went back to the second house ever. So it's a useful tool.
Okay.
But the fine is a little bit ridiculous.
Thank you. Sally?
Well, I was just curious the difference between, I mean, maybe a little more explanation of the difference between consumer fireworks and display fireworks. Are they still, are display fireworks Johnny Peel in your backyard, or is that still part of whatever the city, you know, fireworks is?
Display fireworks are the ones that go way up in the air, and there's a certain size shell with those. Consumer fireworks, and I can read the definition for you. Firework devices that are designated to produce visible effects by combustion that are required, they are required to comply with the construction and chemical composition of the United States. And meaning that they're gonna be handheld firecrackers or small launchables. And then it has exceptions for some of that stuff. But the displays of fireworks are typically the ones we see out here, you know, on 4th of July.
Right. I think that would be if this ordinance is, like you say, what the penalty could be the next time you show up. There's going to be a lot of animal dwellers that are going to play this ordinance, so that's it.
Okay, you?
So this doesn't address the issue on the 4th of July when people get a little crazy with fireworks, does it? So it's still going to be like a war zone on a 4th of July evening.
It allows them until 11:45.
So the enforcement could begin after 11:45.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Are there many citations outside of the 4th of July? I mean, is there a problem outside of the 4th of July few days?
We've got complaints, citations. I can't remember the last time we wrote a citation. Usually we get complaints, even when the fine was lower, we usually got complaints and we went talk to people. You know, people get it. Okay, the police have shown up, there's been a complaint, let's put them away. But we have gotten complaints. I think a couple years ago we went through this, we did the stats for the year. Of course, the majority were around the 4th of July, but because it was allowed on the other holidays, there was fireworks on or around the other holidays.
So just so I understand correctly, what we're doing is just limiting the number of days, the holidays, where people can legally use fireworks.
We went from 30 days to 12. That's what the city ordinance puts. So we're not allowed to restrict more than that. Restrict those days.
I'm good, thanks.
Okay. That was my question. You went from 30 to 12. Okay. I thought it was more than that because they're giving us the week of July 4th. Seems like that would kind of make up for it. Then my other comment was a lot of times when you're sitting here or watching the sky at 1 a.m., they're coming from the township. Is that, you guys can't have any jurisdiction there, right?
We don't enforce the township.
Yes, no.
And there's only, I think there's a couple that they have some, but most of them don't have ordinances.
Okay.
Mike, you have a comment?
Yes.
As you may recall, I think it was when the state first came out with this, when they first got into the business or re-regulating fireworks a number of years ago, when we had more like the 30-day thing. And people really kind of let loose those first couple of years. There was a lot of fireworks going off all the time. We had a lot of complaints at that time. At that point, there was some discussion throughout the county about doing a countywide ordinance with regards to a standard rule that would apply to both to the cities and the townships, so law enforcement would have a common rule, because it's, you know, it's hard to determine sometimes when the fireworks are going off, but, you know, we have a lot of borders around us, you know, whether it's going off here, or if it's going off in Wilson Township, or Boyne Valley Township, or wherever the houses may be. That never really went too far, but there was some discussion about doing that at that time.
Okay. All right. I'm in favor of proceeding with the recommendation.
Well, I'd make a motion that we approve the first reading of amendments to the firework ordinance and schedule second reading for October 22nd.
I'll second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Crunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Page.
Aye.
Conklin.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, rescheduling of the September 24th, 2019 meeting. Mike?
I will be traveling to Detroit for a 3 p.m. Michigan Municipal League Board of Trustees meeting. At the time, our next meeting is scheduled at noon on September 24th. The Michigan Municipal League Convention follows in Detroit for the rest of that week. I'd like to be in. If you're not twice today, on this one and another item in a little bit. I'd like to be in two places at once, and obviously I can't be. And to avoid the conflict, I'm proposing that we reschedule our next meeting to Monday, September 23rd at noon, so I can be here for the City Commission meeting and also make it to the Board of Trustees meeting. So that's my recommendation. I was contacted by Commissioner Solomon, who said that he is available on that day too, if you wanted to factor that into your considerations.
Okay, any other comments from staff or public? Sally?
I have no problem with it.
Okay. You
good?
I'm okay with it. I am too. Looking for a motion.
I move we reschedule the September 24th regular meeting to September 23rd at noon.
Second.
Okay.
Roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to item C, City Commission, Historical Commission, and Heritage Center Board Work Session. Mike?
As the Commission is well aware that we have the Heritage Center group that has been working to come up with plans to complete and activate our museum space downstairs. They've done a lot of preparatory work. I think several of you have been to some of their meetings with regards to it. They've gotten draft plans of concept for actually completing the space. They've gotten their 501c3, so they're a registered nonprofit. They're in the efforts of doing some fundraising right now. And they thought it would be good to get together with the City Commission and the Historical Commission and talk about the progress to date and possible future steps to continue the process moving forward. When I wrote this memo, my calendar looked clear on Tuesday, October 1st at 7:30 p.m., and that was the date that I was recommending. It seemed to be clear with everybody that I had talked to. Since then, and I forwarded to the Commission prior to tonight's meeting, received a proposal from Boyne Mountain inviting me to a climate change conference that's being held in Utah starting on Wednesday, October 2nd, and going through the remainder of that week. They're bringing leaders from 30 communities across the country together to talk about the impacts of climate change, not only on the ski industry, but other impacts as well, too. They think it'd be a good opportunity for us to learn more about potential problems and possible solutions with regards to that. Much like the last item we just talked about, again, I can't be in two places at once, and so I'm proposing that instead of going for a Tuesday, October 1st meeting for this joint meeting, that we would reschedule it for our next open meeting Tuesday after that, which would be October 15th at 7:30 p.m. I did send I called Keisha Freed, the chairperson of the Heritage Center Group, earlier to see about that date change. I have not heard back from her yet. I believe that it's so far in advance, a little over a month away, that it should be clear on everybody's schedule, so at least on their side. I also contacted Commissioner Solomon, because he contacted me earlier to let me know the October 1st date worked, and the October 15th date works for me as well, too.
Okay. Any comments? You?
With the first, with the day before, the September 30th date work, Mike, on Monday?
I don't know about the Monday date, Hugh. I haven't checked that. I mean, that's an alternative.
Well, it just seems like they're anxious to get rolling, and, you know, the quicker we can maybe answer some questions for them, the better they'll feel or whatever. Mike?
Let me just check my calendar on that here, too.
What day are you saying?
It would be Monday rather than Tuesday. Monday the 30th rather than Tuesday, October 1st.
Yeah, that's clear on my calendar. I mean, if we want to do that, we could possibly approve a motion with both of those dates, and whichever one was the clearest for people. And then we'll get the 30th work back, no problem with that either.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So maybe if you want to consider a motion, we reschedule it to the, or reschedule it for Monday the 30th at 7:30, and then have the alternate date be the October 15th date at 7:30.
Could we do it instead? Is there a reason to go at 7:30? Did it just work for the Heritage Board?
Yes, one of their members cannot attend earlier than that. I talked to them about possibly moving up. You know, right. We start at our usual 7 time, or. And a number of them work during the day, so they're not available until afterwards. So 7:30 was the earliest time it worked for all of their members.
Well, I would make a motion that we have a joint work session with the Heritage Center and Historical Commission on possible two dates. One's September 30th. If that's not available, then we would have it on October 1st at 7:30 p.m.
What was the second date, Hugh?
The 15th.
Okay.
Isn't that what you...
Yeah, that's what I was looking for. I wasn't sure that that's what you said.
I would say that.
I think if Ron and Sally have a chance, I think we're past that. We're okay, right? With this motion? Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that's okay. That's fine. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Page?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunge?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Move on to item E. Item E is requested to go to closed session. Let's go back to item E, which was the approval to appoint Monica Krubeck to the Planning Commission to fill the remaining term of James Kozlowski with a term expiring May 31st, 2020. I'll give the floor to you, Bill.
Yeah, the question that I had, I guess this is directed to you, Scott, is the procedure where it says the mayor makes the appointment and then the city commission, this was in the memo, and then the city commission approves that. Is that how we do the planning commission, or are there just a few seats?
That's per the planning commission ordinance of how the appointments are made.
So the mayor actually should make the appointment or make a recommendation to the planning commission that then comes?
That's the way the ordinance reads. This has been the policy to do it this way, so that being here.
For the mayor, or it's just that this Well, when we made an appointment before, there was no mention with Skylar McNaughton and Rose Newton. It came from the Planning Commission, and the mayor wasn't involved. So So there just, are there certain number of seats that the mayor chooses for the planning commission?
Mm-hmm. The ordinance states specifically planning commission members are appointed by the mayor and confirmed by the board.
Okay.
So that's what the ordinance states, but what the practice has been, as long as I've been with the city of Boynton, I think it predates me. Well, I'll take that back. It's always been an appointment of the city commission, never formally gone through the mayor. Since I've been here, I'm trying to remember exactly when it started, we basically look for input from our boards and commissions to make recommendations to the city commission, the vast majority of the appointments. There's nothing that requires it, it's just kind of a practice that we've gone through to have more inclusion.
Right. So that's what I thought. It caught me that there was this specific thing in the memo about that the mayor makes an appointment, and I haven't remember seeing that before.
Yeah. It applies for all appointments from the planning commission. There isn't a certain number that's appointed one way or the other. It's all, that's the procedure that's stated in our ordinance. Our practice has been the same.
Right.
And ultimately, as long as the city commission ultimately approves who it is, and there's no objection from the mayor, then we're fine.
Yeah. I thought it just kind of caught me there in the paragraph there. Does the mayor make appointments like to the parks, or is it just strictly limited to the planning commission?
I'd have to go back and look at the various ordinances. We have never used the mayor's appointing authority under any of the boards and commissions. It's always been a city commission ultimate decision. The only exception to that is the housing commission, which under the city ordinance has a city manager appointing. Right.
That was my question. Thanks.
Okay. Any further discussion from the audience? Any discussion around it?
Make a motion to approve our appointment.
You okay with it, Sally?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we appoint Monica Thorndike to the planning commission.
I'll second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on, we are going to item D, request of the city manager to go to a closed session regarding attorney-client privilege documents provided in MCL 15.268, the Michigan Open Meetings Act, Public Act 267 of 1976. Before we do that, do you anticipate any action items when we come out of closed session?
I don't think they'll be necessary now.
Okay. Let's move on to go to the order. Is there commissioners, anything?
I just had one question. It was about our quarterly updates.
We're behind schedule on that.
Okay.
I'm looking to bring that to the commission at our October 8th meeting.
And then somehow I crossed this path too. There was something with the fiscally responsible community program, and it was something I think with the extension and a fee and
yes.
Did that get resolved?
Yes, that issue has been resolved. I've been in communications with them and we're working on moving forward with that program. Yeah. The fee was only turned out to be like, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, I want to say like $325 or something.
Thought it was a little bit more, but it wasn't.
You thought it was like $500?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that much, but it was insignificant.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Are we still working with Mr. Wiesner on his program?
Yes. Yeah, Mike's been in the last couple weeks working on that, and I'm looking to have him be able to come in and give an update to the city commission on exactly where we are with that.
That's all, thank you.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to announcements. The next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for September 23rd, which is a Monday. Now I will make a motion that we go into closed session.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.